to turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. So Proverbs 3, 11 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." I want to talk a bit about chastening, and I suppose having a correct view of chastening, and the word chastisement is another word we can use for it, which tonight I'll probably use interchangeably. But it's important to understand what chastisement is, why the Lord chastens us, the results of God's chastening, and the reasons why God chastens us. It's a real struggle to talk about this subject with a lot of Christians, because there are a lot of people that deny that the Lord chastens us, or they deny the degree to which God chastens us. Some Christians deny that God's chastening, maybe they don't deny that God chastens, but they deny that God's chastening warrants a change in a Christian's life. But tonight I want to talk about why the love we can see from God, God's love that we can see inside chastening, and the true purpose of it. So first of all, you know, it's a term that gets thrown around a lot, chastening, chastisement, and I must admit, prior to studying for this sermon, I really had no idea. I mean, if someone asked me on the spot, what is biblical chastening? What is, you know, I don't think I could tell them straight away a solid definition of what it is. But chastening really is, if we go back to the Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12 here, what God's word describes it as almost, it's a manifestation of God's love to us. "Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth." So the word itself comes from the Hebrew word musor. I don't know if I pronounced that right. But the Latin translation, the English word is obviously, comes from the Latin word castigare, which is to set or keep right or to correct. I believe it's the word that we get our word castigate from, which is obviously a strong word, but it's the same root. So chastisement, it can come in a lot of forms. And in my own experience, in my own life, it's been a few different forms. But at least in my life, I feel like it's been mostly in the form of conviction. So the Lord's convicted of me of many different things in my life. You know, particularly tonight, the things that I've done or the things that I've always been interested in or desired or loved that weren't drawing me closer to God, rather they were distracting me or taking me away from God. And so often I've been convicted of this. Sometimes it can take the form of a barrier between yourself and God. So something that you... Maybe it started with conviction. There's something the Lord is convicting you about, or you're feeling chastened on, and you try to pray, or you try and read your Bible, or sing praises to the Lord, and something doesn't quite feel right. It's wrong. Quite often it's your conscience. The Lord uses your conscience. He chastens you through your conscience, at least in my experience. And as Christians, we should experience peace. The Lord gives us peace. And sometimes when that's disrupted, we know something's wrong. We should have constant peace through Christ. It's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And when that's damaged, when our peace isn't quite what it should be, then we know something's wrong. And then sometimes chastening takes the form of a trial or a hardship in our life. Now, this is where it really gets controversial, if I may use that word in this sense. Many Christians don't like to believe that the Lord allows hard times, and that it's always, and quite often it is, an attack of the devil. But the Lord does allow these things to happen. Obviously, the example that I think of right away, or for the most part, would be Paul's thorn in the flesh. Now, this was, the word of God says that it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. So it was from Satan, but the Lord, when he bid the Lord to take it from him, the Lord didn't. So trials can take a lot of different forms. And, you know, I think most of us, if we've been saved a little while, can definitely say we've experienced a chastisement of some sort in our life. Now, the reason for that is because the Lord is dealing with us as with children, like a father in the son whom he delights. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, we'll read another really good passage on chastening from the New Testament. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Now, from this passage, I want to sort of glean, or at least, I guess, lay out the reasons why the Lord has shown me that I can rejoice in chastisement, and or rejoice when the Lord is chastening me, because, again, understanding the reasons why he's chastening us, and then the results that come out of that are part of being able to rejoice when the Lord chastens us. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, we'll read down to verse 11. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So there's obviously a lot to unpack here in this passage. It's a very dense passage, but some of the things that really stood out to me were that we see that, number one, we know that we're children of God if we're experiencing chastisement. And that in itself, to me, brings peace, because it's a real sign of, we can have assurance in our salvation just due to the fact that the Lord is working in our life and that he's active. It's really encouraging. And then we know that the Lord loves us. We know that as we read in Proverbs, that he's dealing with us as children, that he chastens us because he loves us. And again, he's active. We know that God's active in our life through the chastening. And then we see in this verse that the Lord gives us a promise of yielding the peaceable fruit of righteousness there in verse 11, unto them which are exercised thereby. So we have a promise of growth, I suppose you could say, in the Lord, yielding the fruit of righteousness. And so we see that there's really nothing in there that could be selfish on God's part, because in the verse there that says, in verse 10 says, for they verily for a few days chastened us, this is talking about our parents, after their own pleasure, but he for our profit. So we see that when God chastens us, God's correction is completely for our benefit. God doesn't chasten us or allow a terrible trial to occur in our lives out of revenge or because he wants to, because we've sinned against him and he wants to feel better about himself. God's not that insecure. God is quite capable of you know, we're at his mercy. But that verse is really encouraging as well. So we know through that God only gives us what we need when it comes to chastening. He doesn't give us too much. He doesn't act out of anger. The Lord gives us just what we need to draw us closer to him and yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So I think it's important as well to look at it from the perspective of a parent in having joy in the chastening and the difficult times that we do go through, even if it's not so much a trial, it may just be conviction or spiritual turmoil, maybe it's a lack of peace. Again, these things can all be chastening or a tool that the Lord uses to bring us back to him and to keep us on the right track spiritually. But it's important to look at it as, well, almost all of us could relate to this, when you're a kid and been disciplined, and obviously at the time it's not much fun and you feel like you're right and they're wrong, but then, you know, you grow up and you look back and think, where would I be without my parents chastening, my parents correcting me when I needed correcting? Unfortunately, human nature, we've inherited this from Adam. Human nature has to be corrected. We are so prone to sin. We're so easily led away from where we should be. And so the Lord is so merciful in the way that he chastens us when we think about it that way. And then even within your Christian life, if you think of the times that the Lord has chastened you and then the result of that, where would I be if he hadn't done that? Where would my focus be? Where would my passions be? Where would I be in general in life if the Lord hadn't been active in my life, chastening me, showing me the right way? And it's not fun having to give things up or having to go places you don't want to go or give up your time or whatever it is when the Lord's leading you to do something or to when he's correcting you for something. It's not fun. But we always look back and we see, just like you did when you look back when you were a kid and parents chastened you and it wasn't much fun back then, but then you look back and you realize they were right all along. And it's the same thing that happens with us spiritually. There's actually a couple of good verses here that I kind of skipped over. Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. If you think about a father that raising his kids and not teaching them about the dangers of drugs and alcohol or bad company, bad friends, or they don't teach them how to work, they don't teach them values that will make them happy or values that will cause them to live a life for God, and how much mess that could bring into people's lives if you don't, you know, your children, if you don't teach them the right way. One of the results of chastening in our lives can be, or not results, God sees, obviously he's outside of time, he sees our future, he sees our past, our present, and the Lord, to keep us out of trouble, so to speak, the Lord chastens us, and it almost as a preventative measure, and we should rest in his ability to keep us on the right track spiritually, even when we don't understand why he's asking us, or why he's correcting us. We may not realize what we're doing wrong, we may be in denial, but the Lord always knows what he's doing. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 94, verse 12, Psalm 94, verse 12 says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. And I think that's really interesting because we see that the word there, that indicating a purpose. The Lord is chastening us so that we can have rest from the days of adversity, meaning the days of evil days, bad times coming upon us. The Lord chastens us for the purpose that we will steer clear of these things that are in our way. The Lord, it hurts to be out of the way of these boulders that are coming flying in our way as Christians, but the Lord knows where they are. We can't see them. But then the Lord, he can see perfectly what will happen to us, where we'll go spiritually if we're not corrected in a certain area. He's all-knowing, and because of that, we can trust that the days of adversity, we're protected from so much evil and so much hardship through God's merciful chastening. Now, we'll go to Psalm 118, verse 18, since we're in Psalms at the moment. So Psalm 118, 18. Now, in one verse, this really sums up the Lord's purpose in chastening us. I think it's really, really powerful verse. So Psalm 118, verse 18 says, "The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death." And that's incredible because it really shows the chastening is hard. You know, this is a psalm of David. David's been chastened and it's been painful, but he sees God's purpose in the chastening, that the Lord has keeping him from the path of death. So unfortunately, without the Lord, we are so easily led to the path. Well, you know, the wages of sin is death. We've got nowhere else to go. But the Lord sees the best purpose that we can have when we're chastened. The Lord keeps us away from death. I can't really explain the verse better than it. It's really self-explanatory. I don't think I'm expanding on it much here. But it's a beautiful verse. So I think it's good as well when reading through the Word of God to find characters that you feel have portrayed certain, at least at one point in their life, have portrayed these attributes really well. Jeremiah, I think, is one who speaks about correction. And in chapter 10, and I've got it written down here, we'll turn there in just a minute, but I love the way that he describes God and the way that he describes correction. So we'll turn there now, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. So Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." And I like how in verse 23 here, we see that Jeremiah has an understanding of the state of man, the fact that from the moment where, you know, because of Adam, what we've inherited from Adam, our sinful nature, Jeremiah in verse 23 acknowledges that, "I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." And then we see that Jeremiah has an understanding of the solution to that, and that is the correction of the Father. "O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." And this is a real challenge to me because it's so easy to look at chastening and in an absolutely negative light and think that it's the worst thing in the world, which it certainly feels like it sometimes. But then we see that Jeremiah here is asking the Lord for correction. He says, "O Lord, correct me, but with judgment." And that's an attitude that we should all have so we should understand, first of all, why we need correction, because we're sinful and we make mistakes and the Lord knows far more than we do. We're sinful creatures that have to have divine correction. And then we should ask the Lord to correct us like Jeremiah did here. And we see as well that he acknowledges God's judgment and God's mercy in correction. He says in verse 24, "But with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." He acknowledges God's power to bring him to nothing if it weren't for his mercy and for his judgment. And of course, God is merciful and he does go so much easier on us than we deserve. And then secondly, if you'll go to Psalm 23, we have verse 4, I'm sure some of you probably already guessed that that's where we're going, but David has a right view of chastisement here, which I really like. So we'll read from the start of the psalm, and then we'll go to verse 4. So Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, I like that he says that God's rod and God's staff comfort him, because he can be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And for us Christians, I think the way we can apply that is the life we live, living in the world but not of the world. It can be scary. The things that the Lord calls us to do without his help can be very, very scary. But we see that through chastening and through the Lord keeping us, because the rod and the staff for a shepherd were used to keep the sheep in line and even to keep predators away. And so I love that David has a love for God's correction and for God's rod and staff. And I think that's another challenge to us, something that we should really take on. So the important, I guess, application tonight is just understanding why the Lord chastens us. Our state as humans, without correction, we just go astray. And you think of, you know, without God's intervention at certain points in my Christian life, where would I have been? Understanding that, and then understanding God's love that is manifested through his chastening. Now, this is what upsets me about so many, I don't know if I want to say denominations, but Christians that are unfortunately indoctrinated to believe that the Lord's chastening shouldn't warrant a change in their life, so that they live the way they want to live and still claim to be a Christian and claim that the Lord is chastening them. And then quite often, they deny chastening altogether or leave those verses out. we're missing out on so much of the love of God when we're not being chastened. And if there's no chastening happening in your life, if there's no movement of the Spirit in your heart telling you, go here, go there, prodding you, poking you, as painful as it is sometimes, it's a good idea to really, really start praying and seeking God or checking up on your salvation, because it's a dangerous, without God's rod and without God's staff, we're, you know, we've got nothing. We're going nowhere, or at least we're going to bad places. So that's, I suppose, what I sort of wanted to get across tonight. So I do apologize for the short message, but in any case, I think it's just something to think about. So I'll just pray. So Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness, Lord, to us. I want to thank you that, Lord, through your chastening, you're so merciful, Lord, and you only give us just what we need. It's, Lord, for our benefit, Lord, and it's not out of anger or hatred on your part, Lord. You love us undescribably, Lord, and so to assume that would be... Lord, blasphemers. So, Lord, I pray you'll help us tonight to be thinking about, Lord, your love that you have for us in the form of chastening, Lord. I pray that despite how we feel about it sometimes, the attitude we may have as we are children, Lord, being disciplined by our parent, Lord, I pray that you'll give us an attitude of humility and a soft heart, Lord, when we are chastened, Lord, and to remember that when you have disturbed the peace, or when we're convicted, or when something's come in our road, Lord, a trial or something, you are trying to teach us something, Lord, and that you do work everything for good. So I pray, Lord, tonight that you help us to remember these things and to commit, Lord, our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen.